welcome to the Giant Foam Finger, a Pop Culture Happy Hour special presentation. You know, we talk every week about culture high and low, and this summer we're turning that same approach on the world of sports. From the fond memories that make us fans to the petty grievances that make us monsters, we're unpacking our fandom one hearty grunt, one graceful leap, one heartbreaking miss at a time. It's only fitting that Giant Foam Finger number one features Pop Culture Happy Hour regulars Stephen Thompson and Gene Demby digging deep into a memory they shared from opposite sides of the scoreboard, although they never expected in 2004 that they'd be talking about it all these years later. Take it away, Stephen and Gene.
All right, so we're going to go back in time for a moment, okay. And we are going to relive a memory. We're going to go back to January 11th, 2004, in the second round of the NFC playoffs. Gene's Philadelphia Eagles hosted my Green Bay Packers. Both teams at this time had high hopes for this game and for just the remainder of that particular season. The Eagles had the best record in the NFC and with it had earned home field advantage throughout the playoffs and the easiest possible path to the Super Bowl.
Theoretically.
We'll get there in a sec. The Packers saw themselves, saw ourselves as the team of destiny, but a single play in the fourth quarter of that game actually has its own Wikipedia page, and just the title of the page is 4th and 26.
Now trying to stop a 4th and 26 and in essence take over. Plenty of time. Down the middle, it's Mitchell.
Yeah.
I canceled this segment. Abort.
Oh my gosh.
All right, history is written by the winners. I'm going to let Gene Demby, Philadelphia Eagles fan and monster, start by walking us through what we just heard and what it meant in the context of that game.
So we should walk back two or three plays. So the Eagles are... The Eagles are basically stinking up the field. Right? They had a false start, so they got moved back on a penalty. Donovan McNabb was sacked. So it's 4th and 26, which is basically the worst possible situation you can be in.
And at this point, the Packers are up by three.
Mm-hmm.
If the Eagles don't get more than 26 yards on the next play, the Packers take the ball over on downs. I believe there are no more timeouts.
Right.
The game is over, and the Packers take their rightful place as one of the teams in the NFC Championship game the following week.
Right. And so I actually called up the Alliance Sports Bureau this morning to see how successful teams had been on fourth and long, or fourth and more than 15 yards, in that entire season. And they told me that in the 2003-2004 NFL season, there were 31 fourth and 15 or longer plays. Yeah. NFL teams were 5 for 31 that season.
Wow.
So it was about 16%. So, I mean, all you need to do is stop someone before they move the ball 26 yards. It is incredibly easy. And the Eagles, at this point, even though, you know, they were the best team in the NFC, have notoriously terrible receivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Mitchell, the guy who catches that pass, is a loudmouth and not as good as he thinks he is.
No.
Our other guys are sort of marginal NFL players at the position.
Well, and Freddie Mitchell was largely like a first round draft pick bust
out of
UCLA. He was a punk at UCLA and he was a punk for the Eagles.
And this is
not that I'm biased.
And this is essentially the highlight of his career as an NFL player. And it's, funnily enough, a couple years ago, I was walking down Market Street randomly and Freddie Mitchell was like sitting outside.
And everyone waiting was, like, to be recognized.
And people were like, hey, Fred X was his nickname because he always delivered. Which was not true.
Which was not even remotely true.
And people were like, to this day, Freddie Mitchell can probably does not pay for his drinks in Philadelphia. So Don McNabb drops back. This is an impossible play, basically.
Right.
He drops back and he hits Freddie Mitchell, who jumps in the air and catches the ball, and he's hit immediately. And it wasn't even a lucky spot. It was clearly
a conversion. The Packer players who share the blame include Darren Sharper, Nick Barnett, then rookie linebacker, and a safety named Baoju, who I think was just not close enough.
Right.
But the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers was fired. In the aftermath of this particular play.
So where were you when you were watching this game, when you saw that play?
I usually watch football in my house and my family's around. Sure. The kids are doing their thing. And so I usually wind up having to kind of ball up my temper, my sports ragey temper, and just go, or just like go into the other room and punch a couch cushion if I'm mad or whatever. This, for whatever reason, this game happened when I was completely alone in the house, mm-hmm. at which point I was able to just go entirely unhinged. You and I have watched football together, I am very pessimistic. And when Freddie Mitchell caught that pass, because it was just this so unlikely, all we have to do is stop this, and then I know my prevailing emotion will be relief. Mm-hmm. And instead, the worst thing happens. I drop to my knees on the carpet and mash my forehead into the carpet, beat my fists against the carpet, pound, 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 like a three-year-old having a tantrum at the grocery store, and just shriek from the top of my lungs until I could see stars. Like, I got up, and there were still, like, floaters.
Oh my gosh. So I was in my first apartment in Brooklyn. I was, like, 23 years old. There was no one else. My girlfriend wasn't around, so I was in the house by myself, and I was sitting on the floor, and I'm watching on this tiny TV. It's like maybe like a 16, 17-inch TV. It's like a tiny TV that I'd had since college. And watching the game, you know, on Fox, we had like very parallel responses to this, or like sort of mirror image responses. Sure. So I jumped up in the air, and I yelled for like 5 minutes, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I remember being hoarse at the end of it. And I was like, okay, well, clearly we're going to win this game now. I mean, clearly the universe has decided that if we convert on a play like this,
then
we're not only going to win the game.
Everything good that could happen will going forward. Dawn.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a new dawn, a new day.
Right.
You have just touched on a point that I wanted to make about the team of destiny, mm-hmm. and the massive sense of entitlement that comes with the mindset that you have been ordained to be the team that all the good things happen to, mm-hmm. that goes on and wins the Super Bowl.
Right.
Now, to set the scene a little bit more on that season, Packer fans often have this kind of sense like we are noble and ultimately the fates are on our side. Mm-hmm. You know, Vince Lombardi. There's so
much. You did not inherit that, though. You did not really inherit that.
Yeah, that is not exclusive to Packer fans by any
stretch. No, but you do not possess the sort of like the universe is on your. You're a pessimistic.
I just assume that whatever team I root for is God's pincushion. so
it skipped over you. It's generally true of Packer Nation.
Right, but there's in this particular season, the Packers were very mediocre for a large chunk of the season and then rattled off four straight wins to end the year. Mm-hmm. One of those wins was against the Oakland Raiders on Monday night, the night after Brett Favre's father died.
This is like a famous,
this is famous, a famous,
game.
Famous game. And Favre threw for like 399 yards and four touchdowns. And he was just everything went our way.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And the game was, I don't remember the score, but it was like 47 to 12.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just a
them.
Total destruction. And the Raiders were talking about God's pincushion. The Raiders were not actually God's pincushion at that time.
Right.
And the next week, the Packers needed to win the last game and needed the Vikings to lose to the lowly Arizona Cardinals, mm-hmm. which was never going to happen. And basically, all the universe converged. The mm-hmm. Packers won. The Vikings somehow on a last second play to an obscure wide receiver named Nathan Poole, the Freddie Mitchell, actually the much less heralded version of Freddie Mitchell for the Cardinals. So the Packers like were almost not going to be in the playoffs, but then they win the division.
So then, of course, you have
then.
To win.
So then, yeah. So all of a sudden, it's like we're playing with house money. First, right. The wild card game, the next week is Seahawks at Packers. And that is another famous game where Matt Hasselbeck, the former backup quarterback of the Packers, now quarterback, not now now, but then now, mm-hmm. quarterback of the Seahawks, the game goes into overtime. And the Seahawks win the coin toss. And Matt Hasselbeck leans in, not realizing that all the microphones were going to pick him up and broadcast to the entire stadium and the viewing public at home. He goes, "We'll take the ball and we're going to score."
Yes. Famously.
Famously. And ooh, just setting off, you know, just so much, so much indignation in Packer Nation. It was not apocryphal. He got the ball and promptly threw an interception to Al Harris, which was run back for the winning touchdown in overtime. Did score, technically true. And so there was already just this sense like, we got this. Mm-hmm. we got this. Mm-hmm. And we've got, you know, we're on the road, and the number one seeded team is on the ropes, fourth and 26. There was just this sense, like this is ours. Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting phenomenon among sports fans, this sense of destiny.
It's funny because I think the Eagles fans probably felt the same way broadly. Like, we had been in the NFC Championship game the two previous seasons. This was our third, when we beat you guys, it would be the third time we went there. But there was a sense that, okay, we're going to be the team of the aughts, right?
Right.
We had a young
dynasty,
really
Donovan
talented
McNabb, quarterback.
Deuce Staley. There was a bunch of, like, our coach was like one of the up and coming coaches in the league, and Andy Reid. Yep. Like, this is going to be our decade.
The number of times that people, like, a team wins the Super Bowl and then immediately the dynasty talks.
Absolutely, right, right. Can they do it again? It almost never happens. Yeah. You know, the Packers have been, they'd won a Super Bowl in the last seven years, right?
Yeah.
So, right? I mean, Brett Favre is one of the biggest stars in the league at that point. You know, like, he is the video game boss you have to get through to proceed to the next level.
Sometimes that video game boss throws you six interceptions in a single playoff game. That will happen.
Mm-hmm. The Eagles had been, I mean, they'd never been good, like, in my adult life. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they were flirting with being, like, a perennial power. It's impossible, basically, in that situation to convert that play. And we did. And it also didn't matter. We lost the next week to the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, postscript. Yes. Neither one of us got what we wanted.
It was not, you know, this, like, triumphal march to glory. We've never won a Super Bowl. We are one of the biggest markets. We consistently have among the highest jersey sales. We are rabid, crazy fans. And we have all these moments like that, and no Super Bowl rings to show for it.
But you'll always have 4th and 26.
Always.
And I will always have 4th and 26 as a way to feel sorry for myself. And I think that's what's important.
And Freddie Mitchell will forever coast for the rest of his life on the fact that he had one catch. One huge, huge, huge catch.
You know what? That is one more huge catch than I have ever made.